on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light's switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
And it is 29 to 11. And the man himself knows all about the doggies. Disco Dave Carlson joins me. How are you, Dave?
Thank you, Coz. My guest today will be two from Canberra, race caller Kel O'Rourke, as we relive last night's emotional tab.com.au Canberra Cup final. I'll also speak to Kel Watt, who is the Canberra Greyhound Club spokesperson in relation to the ban, which comes into force tomorrow. Laurie McKern is going to join us from Gap, New South Wales, to talk about yesterday's fantastic Greyhound Adoption Day at Wentworth Park, which is part of National Gap Day. Also on the line will be Victorian trainer Matthew Wright, whose dual Group 1 winning chaser Lightning Frank took out a heat of the Group 2 Warrnambool Cup last Wednesday night. And our New Zealand greyhound expert Pete Fenimore is going to join us with the wrap of the Group 1 New Zealand Oaks and the Group 1 Whanganui Distance Classic, which were run and won since we last went to air. Now, in other racing at Wentworth Park on Saturday night, three heats of the Group 3 Ladies Bracelet were run, and Queensland Futurity runner-up Ella Enchanted for Darren Sultana set the time standard with a sizzling 29-48, defeating Alpine Little by 8¾ lengths with Aria in third place. Golden Easter Egg finalist Miss Splendomiro won her heat from box one in 29-79, downing Big Butters by 4¼ lengths with Splendiferous in third place. In the other heat, Golden Easter Egg champ Uphill Jill started the $1.35 favourite from box seven, but was beaten by Bikini Cloud, who clocked 30-26 from box four. Uphill Jill was second, 2¼ lengths away. Paddy's Pearl was third. Now, next Saturday night's $25,000 to the winner final on Ladies' Night at Wentworth Park. The box draw: Bikini Cloud in one, Uphill Jill two, Aria three, Miss Splendomiro four, Ella Enchanted five, Splendiferous six, Big Butters 7, Alpine Little in 8. Reserves are Paddy's Pearl and Slingshot Gypsy. Also on Saturday night, prolific winner Sky Wave won the Group 3 Nowra Puppy Classic from box 1 for trainer Vic Sultana, clocking 29-80 and defeating Styles by 3½ lengths with Really Fast Love in third. At Dubbo last Friday, Little Digger for Ray Smith won a thrilling Dubbo Gold Cup. It was the final. Box 2, Little Digger jumped from, clocked 29-85 and beat Ferrero Miss by a nostril. Falcon's Fury was third. On Wednesday night in Rockhampton, five heats of the Cup were contested, with Fire to Rain for Chris Reardon setting the time standard from box 5 in 29-75. The other winners were Slick in 29-83, Bimbadjan Man 29-95, the super consistent Airtime in 29-99, and Riff in 30-18. And it was a special weekend for country race caller Bobby Petschke, who's recovering in Tamworth Hospital after a stroke. Now, Bob's greyhound Harmat won at the Gardens on Friday night, and the Tamworth Greyhound Club honoured Bob on Saturday, naming the first race the Speedy Recovery Bobby Petschke Maiden. And Bob walked unaided from his bed to his physio area in hospital on Monday. I spoke on the phone to him shortly after, and his wife June and his great mate Tex from Willow Tree are constantly by his side. So Bobby Petschke, he's on the mend, Cozzy, which is terrific news.
Yep, absolutely. Kel O'Rourke's here with you, Dave.
Indeed. Thanks very much for that. We'll speak to Kel in just a second. Kel, I just want to mention up the straight at Capalabar in Brisbane, Alpha Ulysses won the Derby final from box four in 1967, and the win gave trainer Jim Heddles his first feature win in 36 years. Next Saturday will be the Capalabar Futurity final. Okay, the next four meetings at the Gosford track will be transferred, with reconstruction of the track not yet completed. Tomorrow's meeting and Tuesday week, May the 8th meeting, will both be run at the Gardens, while Tuesday the 15th and the 22nd will be run at Richmond, and all meetings are B-class, while in Wagga, performance and clearance trials are being conducted this Thursday. Well, now we're going to speak to Kel O'Rourke, and the tab.com.au Canberra Cup final was run and won last night. Let's hear Kel's call.
racing. Nino Di Oro walked out, and first to go was Champion Model. She's going to lead early from Fly Right up to third. Keysile there, followed then by Smooth Blend. Crash Bandicoot's a long way back. Same for Nino Di Oro, and Barbie's Chance out the back. Champion Model down the back. Smooth Blend's right there. Five lengths away then comes Fly Right. They were followed next up by Murnie Onglana, but Smooth Blend took off and race three clear. Champion Model trying to hang on, but Smooth Blend's won the cup. Photo second, Fly Right or Champion Model. They were followed home then by Nino Di Oro. She's made up a heap. Then Barbie.
Yes, indeed. It was the fastest qualifier, the cup. Smooth Blend, the big unit. He's about 36 kilos, the dog, trained by Denise Warren, taking out what we certainly hope will not be the final Canberra Greyhounds Cup. Caller Kel O'Rourke's on the line. Kel, I could hear the emotion in your voice.
Yeah, good morning, Dave and Sean, and good morning, listeners. I just hearing that call, I think I might have been two runs short, Dave, not one run short, but yeah, it was an emotional night, a huge crowd. As we mentioned on Sky through the night on Sky Sports Radio, the cars were actually parked outside the gate. I've never seen that in the 39-year club history. And, you know, all the dignitaries were there. We had Greyhounds Australasia, we had Clubs Australia representatives, Brenton Scott was down, Luke Gatehouse, all the big guns, yourself and also Jason Lincoln. It was a fantastic night, and it culminated in a win to the Denise Warren trained Smooth Blend, Dave. And mind you, it did get out to a good price at around the 570 on Super at Boxrise.
Well, absolutely. Like 30 and 40 was the time standard set by the winner, Smooth Blend. And when he got out in second place behind Champion Model, and knowing what a strong greyhound he is, I thought, hello, yeah, this six might be winning this.
Yeah, particularly when Crash Bandicoot, you could argue, is the strongest dog in the race. And, you know, he was back second and third last, and he was always going to have a job after finding trouble. Likewise, Nino Di Oro, she's a very strong bitch, but she also found trouble. She did rally late to get fourth, but yeah, you, if you're on Smooth Blend up the back straight there coming to the 600 boxes, you pretty much wanted to double your bet, though.
Too right. Well, congratulations to trainer Denise Warren. She's only got a small kennel, no more than eight greyhounds in a kennel, and you'll hear from her on the Catching Pen tomorrow night at 6:30 on Sky Racing 2. Now, Smooth Blend, Kel, is the son of a very underrated sire in Smooth Fancy.
Yeah, he is, and he's certainly thrown plenty of winners. I'm not sure what he goes for as far as his stud fee is concerned, Dave, but yeah, very underrated, and he certainly got plenty of strength and plenty of speed in those bloodlines. So, yeah, no, I couldn't agree more with you there. He's certainly got a good strike rate.
Smooth Blend's dam, Flamenco Dancer, was also trained by Denise, who trained the Grand Dam as well.
Yeah, I remember Flamenco Dancer. I called her at Goulburn several times. She was a little bit hit and miss at Boxrise, but she had a big, big engine, and she won a stack of races and a stack of good races for Denise and her husband, Errol.
Now, we've spoken about the last cup, and we all hope that it won't be, Kel, but what about the last race? In the final race, it was absolutely fitting that the greyhound named Community Values should win. He's owned by a group of locals who bought the greyhound and named him immediately after Racing Minister Gordon Ramsay, the man behind the ban, had said in the local parliament that greyhound racing has no community values. So immediately a call was put out. We're going to syndicate a greyhound and we're going to call it Community Values. And I think all shares were sold within minutes.
Yeah, that's right. They had $2,300 shares, Dave, and within 50 minutes, those 20 shares were taken. And we did suggest to people that, you know, we preferred the owners, first-timers, if you like, virgin owners, people that hadn't been involved in any sort of racing in any capacity, harness, gallops or greyhounds. And, you know, this greyhound, as you said, the minister said it wasn't, quote, in keeping with community values. So, hence, there lies a perfect title or perfect name for the greyhound. And this bloke's come out. He's won three or four good races now, and he's put some time on the board. And I reckon he's ready to go to maybe a midweek at Wentworth Park, take him to Randwick down the road and I think he's a tad underrated. I don't think they thought he was as good as he was. And, you know, he's put the time doesn't lie, 25-40 for a dog that's only had half a dozen starts. You know, he's bred to get up to the 500. So, and with a good trainer in the Hannafords. And it's just, yeah, it was just such a fairy tale end. And, you know, in the call, I think I said he raced into canine immortality. And that's what it was, because that particular dog will be etched in the local history at Canberra, you know, till day dawn, so to speak.
Absolutely. Trained by Leslie Hannaford, a son of Lochinvar Marlowe and Poor Effort. Well, Cole, we look forward to hearing your calls. I know that Goulburn is going to be doing some racing. The Canberra Club is going to be doing some racing at the Goulburn track on Sunday nights. It was terrific to see you last night, and we look forward to speaking to you soon.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dave. And if I could just reiterate, big thanks to all the Greyhound family, the owners, trainers, everyone within the industry, and also the other two codes. It's been a battle, as I said last night. You know, the government may have won the early stages of the battle, but we'll eventually win the war. I'm confident we can overturn this in the courts. It's going to take some time, and obviously we're going to need some more support, but we'll do it all again. All the staff will be jumping on a 16-seater, and we'll head down to Goulburn next Sunday afternoon, Dave.
Thank you very much, Kel. Kel O'Rourke there, our race caller from Canberra, and a champion bloke. And once again, congratulations to Denise Warren, training Smooth Blend to victory in the tab.com.au Canberra Cup. Jason Lincoln and myself are very, very honoured to be able to present the trophy to Denise for it. And indeed, Community Values taking out the 12th and final race. I think we're going to stay in Canberra now, Cozzy.
Yep. Kel Watt.
Kel Watt, spokesperson for ACT Greyhound Racing, is with us. Kel, like the other Kel, it was terrific to see you on track last night. The ACT local government's ban on all things greyhounds comes into effect tomorrow, but the fight to can the ban continues.
It does indeed, Dave, but I might correct you there in another little bit of sleight of hand. The regulations that have putting a whole bunch of new fees into place and banning racing and trialling, they've decided to bring forward to today. So we went to bed last night, still able to legally race and trial, but we've woken up this morning with the ban in effect. How's that one for you?
Wow. Very interesting that Gordon Ramsay and his mates from the Greens in Canberra, who are obviously turning his screws, they say that greyhound trainers are criminals as of today. They also say that there's no community values. Yet the government says there's community values in letting kids.
Now, what we'll do, we might just get Dave back on the line there, Kel. We've got a little issue with his line coming through. So all of a sudden, the whole ball game has just changed overnight without notice.
Yeah, that's correct. Unexpected, but you know, you're not giving people notice to properly prepare you. These are people that, you know, had, whether they like it or not, sort of got used to the idea that racing and trialling wouldn't be allowed, but at least they were still able to have a livelihood by being able to to train their dogs. But new regulations have come in saying that you now can't take a dog, teach them to jump out of a box, can't teach them to run behind a lure. You know, basically every facet that is involved with training and allows you to get a dog up to racing standard. So just another nasty little sting. But having said that, I actually think that plays in our hands legally, because one of our arguments is that Section 92 of the Constitution says you're not allowed to prevent free trade across borders. And, you know, this is effectively doing that. So perhaps by being a little bit nastier than they would otherwise have been, because they've had the audacity to put up a fight, they've decided to come down with like a ton of bricks, but that's probably going to help us. You know, a bit of short-term pain, but longer-term legal gain, I hope.
Dave's back with us there, Kel. I think so. You there, Dave?
Yep.
Now, Kel, what happens for people with their properties inside the ACT?
Well, they're still able to maintain those properties. They'll be obviously regulated and inspected by the government as well as by GRNSW officials. But this is something that also looks like got a bit of sting in the tail. So the new code that was released to us yesterday morning at quarter past eight on a Saturday, on Saturday morning, rather, that is up for review in 12 months. So a slight reprieve now, knowing that they're able to maintain their kennels and everything else they operate with exactly the same format as they could last week, but is it only going to last 12 months? We simply don't know. So you put all these things together in a row, it actually makes the urgency of the court case even more so, and it's very important we get a win. But with a government overreach like this, I do think that it's probably going to play into our hands as long as we've got a sympathetic magistrate.
How long before you think the battle will start in the courts?
We're in the discovery process now, so that's the government and our lawyers sitting down talking about the sort of documents that each side can share. The government has given very little indication, though, that they're interested in what they can get from us. And I think that really shows that we've operated in a very transparent way. But we're very keen to make sure we can get our hands on a whole range of negotiations and documents and bits of legislation and notices in between the minister's offices and things to strengthen our case to use as evidence. So we've certainly been doing that. But it looks like we'll be in the courtroom for the first time to actually challenge the validity of the legislation in late May. So only a few weeks. It might sort of fall over into June, but we're now weeks away from that being contested. Having said that, we don't know whether it's going to be 3 months, 6 months, or 2 years in court. It's a bit trying to work out how long a piece of string is. But I do think by this time next year, we'll know exactly whether we're on track for a win or whether we're going to have to work out whether we do need to go to a plan B. But it's a little bit open-ended, but it's going to be months, certainly, if not a couple of years before we get that finalised.
I think Dave might be back with us. You there, Dave?
I am, Cozzy. Sorry, I'm broadcasting, obviously, on location from Canberra, just having a few reception problems. I do apologise. Kel, I don't know if you heard my question before about the fact that there's no community values in greyhound racing, and as of today, greyhound racing people are criminals, and yet the ACT government allowed ecstasy pills to be tested at a music venue in Canberra yesterday.
Well, that's right. Look, there's no consistency. I know various listeners will have various opinions on, how we wage a war on drugs and, how we deal with matters of public safety and, health and all those things, and, I can respect that. But the government's got to be consistent. You can't turn around and say that, it's okay to bring, illegally purchased drugs to a music festival, and have the police, kept at arm's length so you can test those drugs to use, to use an illegal substance. And then turn around and say that, greyhound racing is so evil that we're prepared to set the cops on you and make you criminals in a way that drug users aren't from today. So, as I said, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but I think if you're going to be dealing with people's lives and you're going to be dealing with government policy, there's got to be a consistency there. But what you've just described, Dave, is nothing more than just rank hypocrisy.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. And it just shows the hypocrisy of the Greens. It's definitely the Greens driving it because they're trying to decriminalise other drugs around Australia. So their irrelevance is increasing day by day when the police had to stand back. Ray Hadley was talking about it earlier on another radio station this morning today. The police had to stand back and turn a blind eye to something that is illegal because the ACT local government has allowed it. So it just rubber stamps the hypocrisy of the Greens, and the sooner that Labor heavyweights step up and put an end to this farce that is going on in Canberra and we can overturn this greyhound ban, the better, Kel.
Well, I think they actually could. Look, I know I talk to the Labor members, I talk to the union leaders. They support the industry. So what we've got here, and excuse the bad pun, talking about greyhounds, but we've got the tail wagging the dog here. I understand that we've got a minority government. We've seen that around different states and territories, and we've seen it pop up federally before. But when you've got a fringe radical element making all these outrageous demands that seem to counter and contradict long-standing sensible policies from the major parties, that's not government by compromise. That's extortion, basically, and it's government by holding a gun to somebody's head. So I think that people now need to look around you. If you want to see sensible government, regardless of whether you're a little bit more conservative or a bit more progressive, vote for one of the major parties and keep these radical, small, extreme agendas off the out of parliament. Otherwise, you're going to see more and more of this. You know, the Greens and the ACT, you know, they're pulling, you know, 8-9% of the vote, and they've got two people out in there out of 25 in the Assembly, and yet they're dictating policy, whether it's on drugs, whether it's on greyhounds, and the two major parties seem, because of the political system, seem almost powerless to counter it.
Yep, indeed, Kel, if you excuse the pun, there's a rat in the ranks there, but Kel, I appreciate, as always, you keeping us up to date, and we will speak to you again over the court case, and hopefully we can can that ban. And I thank you once again for coming on Going Greyhounds.
No, absolute pleasure, Dave. And, you know, your listeners and the national support has been wonderful. And one thing I want to emphasise is, yeah, this is just the end of a chapter. It's not the end of the story. The Canberra Club is determined to be back, and the fact that we've able to, you know, start racing next week in Goulburn on a temporary basis to make sure we can have our day in court is indicative of that. And I might just wrap up too, Dave. I know you're cut for time here, but last night when those lights went out prematurely before the last race and we were able to get them on just in time for the People's Dog Community Values to win, I think there was a bit of poetry in that and perhaps symbolic of where we are right now. It feels like the lights are going off prematurely, but we'll be back and Community Values will eventually win.
Indeed, Kel. Well put. Thanks, Kel. I'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, mate.
Kel Watt, he's a great fighter and he represents the Canberra Club. And I tell you what, Sean, as they always say, the best form of defence is attack.
Yep, and Laurie McKern joins you now, Dave.
Thank you, Sean. Some really happy news, Laurie McKern from Gap New South Wales. Yesterday was National Greyhound Adoption Day, and Laurie and the passionate team from Gap New South Wales were at Wentworth Park. I was there. You'll see it on the catching pen tomorrow evening. A tremendous roll-up took place, and Laurie, good morning to you. There were lots of happy new owners who gave these beautiful animals forever homes.
Good morning, Dave. Yeah, it was a fantastic roll-up yesterday. We were absolutely thrilled and lots of happy owners and some tears of joy from the Gap team at the end of the day. But we've had some really good reports already this morning.
Now, you and your team, you do a wonderful job. I met all the guys and ladies yesterday from Gap, and they're so enthusiastic, and they do such a great job. And it basically is a charity, and you guys, you know, give up your time. It's wonderful to see. I believe that the vast majority of greyhounds there yesterday were adopted.
That's right. We had 51 up for adoption on the day. We finished up the afternoon adopting 41 out. So that was our official number, but I'm very pleased to say that we have nabbed another one who was there yesterday and put their application form in and had their eye on a specific dog that didn't end up being adopted. So we can happily finish on 42 adoptions for the weekend.
All right. Well, the other 8 or 9 that are remaining, Laurie, how can people get in touch? Can they see them on your website?
They certainly can. We'll be updating our website very soon with the dogs that have been adopted. But the ones that didn't find their homes yesterday, they will still be up for adoption. And all their pictures and profiles are on our website now. So gapnsw.com.au.
Well, it was a successful day right around the country. I spoke to Eddie Caruana from the Meadows Club last night on Canberra Cup night. He was on track and he said the Meadows had a terrific day, and around Australia it was a raging success.
It certainly was. We're hearing the numbers filter in from around the country, and it looks like in excess of 200 greyhounds were adopted on Saturday and Sunday between all of the states. So we're absolutely thrilled with that. And there's a lot more follow-up to do as well. You know, there was a lot of people at Wentworth Park yesterday that weren't quite ready to go ahead and adopt, but they'll be definitely in the pool for the future. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank my team. They're an absolutely incredible bunch of people, and I'm very, very thrilled to have them in the GAP program. To all of our volunteers that came along as well, it simply is not possible to do what we did yesterday without them. And also to all of our colleagues and friends around at the other GAPs around Australia. Everyone had a fantastic weekend, and special thanks to Victoria for really getting behind it and using their might to get it up and running for everybody else around the country. So thank you to everybody.
Awesome, Laurie. Well, on the catching pen tomorrow night, you'll see a couple of ladies who already have an adopted greyhound. She's about 5 and a half. They brought her along with a couple of other little fluffy dogs who are her mates, showing how well they all can get on. And they adopted another one. And also, I spoke to a young couple who adopted their first greyhound. So you'll see that on the catching pen tomorrow night. And Laurie, I know you'll keep us updated with more greyhound adoption days as they come up throughout 2018.
Certainly will. Thank you, Dave, for your support, and to Sky Racing as well. Been absolutely phenomenal. So thank you very much for all the exposure you've been able to give us and your support.
Thank you, Laurie. There's Laurie McKernan. And if you want to know more, GAP, G-A-P, New South Wales, or GAPNSW.com.au. And speaking of greyhound carers, fosterers, etc., I met Martina Taliano in Canberra last night, and Martina runs Greyhound Connections in the ACT, which is the ACT's version of GAP. So if you want to know more about that, if you want to adopt a greyhound in the ACT, greyhoundconnections.com.au, Sean.
And they are the perfect pet for elderly people because when they sit down, they're the right height. They just walk up and plop their head on your lap, and what a cuddle.
Oh, they do. And if you leave your bedroom door open, that'll be their
bed. Yeah, that's it. I know. They just take over and turf you out. They are the best pets of all time. They're rippers. Matthew Wright is joining you now, Dave.
Thank you, Cozzy. Off to Victoria, young trainer Matty Wright, whose chaser Lightning Frank bolted in from box eight in a heat of the Group 2 Warrnambool Cup last Wednesday. Let's hear the call.
Racing, see Righty on the inside out fairly well. Showing pace on the inner was Monster Fish, and going up on the outside was Lightning Frank. Lightning Frank, the leader. Monster Fish in second. Then for the back was Rogers in Town. About two lengths held for Giorgio. Then came Rockalot, Jewel, Caroma. Well back, see Righty and Grigorovich around the corner. The local greyhound, Lightning Frank, has opened up for Matthew Wright. And to the cheers of the crowd, Lightning Frank. Monster Fish second and third held for Giorgio.
Wow, I tell you what, from the pink rug, that was a win. Almost five lengths, 24 and 94 the time. Lightning Frank has now won three of his past four. Matty Wright, the boy is back.
Yeah, g'day, Dave. How you going, mate?
I'm good, mate. You must be delighted. I think Lightning Frank has now won three of his past four.
Yeah, that's right, Dave. Obviously, his run last week was very good. We're very pleased with that. His other win there a while back at Ballarat, we're very pleased with. The run sort of in between there wasn't ideal. I mean, he won the race, but it wasn't up to his sort of standard. But we worked a few things out in between now and then, and he produced what he produced on Wednesday. So it was very pleasing.
How nervous were you before the race?
Yeah. The nerves sort of got to me a bit, actually. I don't usually get nervous before the race. It's not sort of something that really worries me, but... because he'd been sort of put in a couple of below par performances, you're just a bit concerned, you know, how he's going to do it at the top level. He had trialled really well the week before, so I knew he still had it, but whether he's going to produce it race night, you never know until I go out and do it for you.
Yeah, well, Matt, you're a tradie. Your full-time job is a fencer, and I believe you had a bit of a mixed day on Wednesday. Lightning Frank won, but it was a bit of a drama with your car.
Yeah, mate, I was Anzac Day, so I was doing a little bit of work at home. You don't really have much time to do some stuff at home. And, yeah, I was cutting a fence off and the top of the panes can ping off the blade a bit, and one went straight through the back of the window with you. But I thought we might have been in for a bit of a shocker. But, yeah, Lightning Frank, he produced the goods, and he'll pay for the window. There'll be no dramas.
Good stuff. Well, yeah. you train locally around the Warrnambool area, and he's owned by a local syndicate. I guess he'll be the sentimental favourite for this coming Wednesday night's final.
Yeah, that's right, Dave. Yeah, the local community get right behind all, not just Frank, but all their sort of dogs. The race is a huge week, obviously, with the horse racing. But the locals, it's a really racing community. There's some good trotters and that around as well. So they like to see the locals do well. And I didn't realise it, but I was told recently that there hadn't been a local cup winner for 19 years or something. So hopefully we can... we can turn that around and get one for the locals on Wednesday.
Yeah, that'll be a drought, certainly a drought worth breaking. Now, Lightning Frank stormed box one, Aston Dinigan in two, the fastest qualifier, Jimmy Niewob, three, the Maitland Cup champ, Aston Duke, in four, Australian Cup champ, Strike a Light, in five, Black Mumbo, six, Dipping Captain, seven, Zoom Out, eight, the reserve, Burn Like Fire, and Roar Ability. Now, you've drawn the rails. He's won a couple in the red. What are your thoughts about the box draw for the Cup?
Well, in the early days, you know, I prefer him drawing out, you know, seven or eight. That's where it really likes it, because you can get that, you know, a bit of room early to get going. But in saying that, it's better than four, five or six. The main issue, I think, Dave, as you know, with these shorter cup-style races, there's a lot of speed, and it's a pretty red-hot field, you know, for a country cup. And he's just not going to be able to make a mistake, pretty much, Dave. He's going to have to come out and hold his spot. And because if he misses at half length and tries to go around him, whatever's out in front will be running time, and he'll just be impossible for him to pick him up. So we've sort of freshened him up, sort of changed a few things up with him, and hopefully he can step and hold his position on the fence and kick underneath him. But it's going to be a great race, that's for sure. I don't think there's not a dog without a chance. So it's be a good betting race if you like to punt.
Yeah, I've been known to it, to like the punt. So I'll definitely be having something on, Matty, and all the best. I've got to work Wednesday morning on Sky One, so Wednesday night I'll be at home or maybe at the local in front of the TV screen cheering you on, mate. And as always, I really thank you for joining us on Going Greyhound.
Yeah, no worries, Dave. Thanks for the coverage, mate.
Thank you, Matt. There's Matthew Wright. Matthew's probably heading back to work now, Cosby. He's a fencer, so he certainly puts in a lot of elbow grease.
Keep you nice and busy, won't it?
Yeah, too right, mate. Too right. Yeah.
I think we're going to have Peter Fenimore join us in just a moment. We'll be catching up with him. What other news, Dave? Anything much?
Not really. I'm really looking forward to the catching pen tomorrow night on Sky 2 at 6:30. We're going to have the story on the gap day. We had our Sky racing cameras at the Meadows, and I was at Wentworth Park. I spoke to those people who bought some of those greyhounds. I spoke to Laurie from Gap, and I also spoke to Tony Mestrov, who is the CEO of Greyhound Racing New South Wales. And he's a good guy, Tony. He's really got his finger on the pulse. And I'm super confident that greyhound racing in New South Wales is going to go ahead in leaps and bounds for Tony. And he's got some big announcements to make in the coming months too, so stand by. I won't steal his thunder, but there's some good announcements to come.
Pete Fenimore's with you now.
Thank you, Sean. Well, we've had two group finals across Tasman in the past 7 days, including the Group 1 New Zealand Oaks final at Addington. Let's have a listen to Trevor's call of that race.
Racing and best out Corp on Tabor going up the Incredible Sue there, followed by Big Time Mia Justin behind them and railing up there Hilton for a bet. Corp on Krusty getting handy along the rail. Into the back they run, and the leader now is Big Time Mia. Big Time Mia followed Hilton for a bet. Corp on Krusty comes around them quickly, and then we've got at the head of the others Gold Star Marvely. They come towards the corner, and the leader turning for home now. We've got Corp on Tabor on the inside, and Corp on Krusty's running home strongly, but Corp on Tabor will win the Oaks over Corp on Krusty. Kennel Quinella there followed Hilton for a bet, and over on the outside, not that far away.
Yes, indeed. It was trainer Matt Roberts with the Quinella, and Dinah Double One firing the Quinella as well, Pete. And Corborn Tabor getting up by half a length in 30 and 52. Good morning, Pete Fenimore.
Yeah, good morning, Dave, and everybody across the Tasman there. Yeah, hello. Great training effort by Maddie Roberts. Two young bitches only just started their racing careers. Maddie bit the bullet, took them down to South Island for the New Zealand Oaks series, and Julia rewarded with that Quinella. Got to say, huge ups to Stewie Dickinson. Of course, Stewie and his Corborn Greyhounds have been long-term supporters of greyhound racing in New Zealand. And for Stewie to finally Quinella in New Zealand Oaks, I understand he's had something like 5 minor placings in the race previously, so he's come up trumps. But no, all honours, Corborn Tabor. Corborn Krusty, this is a greyhound that's going to go on to bigger and brighter things, no doubt about that. And, of course, the locals, actually Bradshaw, help him for a bet, Gallanton running third.
Matty Roberts, the trainer, is having a phenomenal season, Pete.
Yeah, for sure. Between himself and his father, Craig. Of course, Craig Roberts, he's trained a number of Group 1 winners during this season. They're quite a lethal force to give. Of course, Craig trains in the Canterbury region, Matty up in the northern Marton area, the Manawatu. Together, they had those kennels ticking over very sweetly. Obviously, very strongly supported by Paul Wheeler in terms of Craig, and Stewie Dickinson in terms of Matt.
She's a Ripper was scratched from the Oaks final for Jane and Dave Fahey. How come She's a Ripper came out, Pete?
Yeah, she tore a hip support muscle in the heat. Dave worked tirelessly to try and get her right, but obviously with an injury like that, it's not a quick fix. So Dave, had to scratch her. She's a Ripper. Spoke to Dave while I was down at Addington last Thursday night. He said that she is very well within herself, and she'll just take her time, and she'll definitely will be brought back into work.
Pete, that was Thursday night. On Friday night, trainer Karen Walsh claimed another Group 1
when Dusty Gambler started odds on and won the Whanganui distance final at Hattrick.
Yeah, strong front-running staying performance by Dusty Gambler there, Dave. Karen, look, we know what she does with her staying grounds. Just think back a couple of years ago what she achieved over there with Thronning Brat. Dusty Gambler had to undertake the pacemaking duties. Karen was worried about that, thinking that he may be exposed as a sitting duck. But no, he maintained a strong gallop throughout. He won the 755-metre Group 1 and 44 and 52. We have a very exciting, promising star over here, Dave. Christiane Seiborg for Hayley Malay. She was having her first crack at the extreme race distances. She certainly didn't flinch on her task. She was gallant in running a two-length second at another locally bred greyhound, Nighthawk Rose, gallant in third, just ahead of the ageless stayer, Ring the Bell.
Yeah, Ring the Bell in fourth place. Now, Dusty Gambler came to New Zealand from Australia only a few months ago. Jason Magri trained the greyhound for a while, and Shona Thompson last had it. And Dusty Gambler's won all four starts across the ditch, so a very wise move, Pete.
Oh, absolutely, Dave. Yeah, he commences racing here when he set track best 650-metre figures at Cambridge. He then went on to win the Group 2 Theresa McDonald Cup over 747. And then, obviously, his last two, the heat for that Whanganui distance and, obviously, the final on Friday night. So speaking to Karen after the race, it's full steam ahead. In fact, with all the stars involved now for the prestigious Duke of Edinburgh Silver Collar Series, which gets underway at Manukau over the demanding 779-metre trip early June.
And just finally, Pete, there's group racing at Hattrick again at the end of this week.
Yeah, this Friday night, Dave, there will be heats for the Group 1 New Zealand Futurity. Always delivers a very exciting series. Of course, it brings together the leading restricted age bitches and male dogs have just come out of their New Zealand Derby, New Zealand Oaks series. So they'll all clash at the Hattrick Raceway. Group 1, 520-metre heats this Friday evening.
Well, Pete, as always, thanks for joining us in go the Waratahs against the Blues, hey?
Yeah, it looks like you might have a chance to finally get a Super Rugby win. Of course, the Rebels won't get the Crusaders on Friday night, so it'll be 38 games. Waratahs, Blues. Oh, it's a dance of the desperate, Dave.
I couldn't agree with you more. Pete, thanks so much for joining us.
Cheers, mate. Anytime.
He's our great mate and form expert, Pete Fenimore from New Zealand. Cozzy, catching Pan tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. Sky Racing 2, myself, Jason Lincoln and James Vandermeer. Apologies for some of those technical issues I was having. I've gone over time a little bit, but I'll have to charge my phone or go up on the top of Black Mountain next time.
Yeah, no worries, Dave. We got there, mate. That's the main thing. Good on you.
To you, Tanya and Nick in the studio, thanks very much.